The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud coming, rising in the west, you say immediately that it is going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it is going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you are to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the constable, and the constable will throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you for the day. Have you ever heard of something called the normality bias? The normality bias. Sometimes it's called the ostrich effect. Sometimes it's called analysis paralysis. The normality bias. Normality bias is an observed human behavior by which the greater the crisis that's looming before us, the less likely we are to act. The normality bias is our firm conviction that everything's just going to keep on being the same. And this is very interesting because they say 70% of all people operate based on the normality bias. That's why, for example, nobody got on lifeboats when the Titanic was going down. They all say, "Oh, it's going to be fine," they all said to themselves. That's why nobody got out in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina was going to hit. Everything's going to be fine. That's a whole lot of worry about nothing. You know, in ancient Rome, ancient Italy, you know about Mount Vesuvius and the ancient city of Pompeii that was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius when it erupted? It took 12 hours for Mount Vesuvius to erupt. Nobody left town. The reason why they're all buried, they all sat and watched. The normality bias. So Jesus says, why can't you judge for yourselves and interpret the present time? And when he says this, he's not talking about interpreting the future. He says, why can't you look around in your life and recognize the looming crisis that's before you? What's the looming crisis that's before us? Plain as the nose on your face. Life is short, and you're going to die. There's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be justice. That's the looming crisis. Nobody wants to pay attention to the looming crisis. And then you add to that what St. Paul said in the first reading. Doesn't this sound familiar? I do the wrong I don't want to do. And I don't do the good that I do want to do. In the playing field of life, we're not playing on a level field thanks to original sin. You're always tugged down, and your own moral strength all by itself is not enough to make you do the right thing. You can't pull yourself up to sanctity by your own bootstraps. So with the moral crisis, you know, this crisis is looming before us, the certainty of judgment, and the fact that the judgment is bound to go against you, Jesus says, if you're going to lose the case, why not settle out of court before the thing comes before the judge at all? And there's only one way we can settle out of court, so to speak. In the looming crisis that's before us of judgment, there's one loophole, and that is mercy. Blessed are those who show mercy, Jesus says. Mercy shall be theirs. Can I tell you something that you have my full permission to take with a grain of salt, okay? But occasionally I hear something outside of the mainstream of, you know, the saints in the church, and it just rings true. So I knew of someone who was dying, and he said that he saw someone he knew on the other side of death, right? Kind of a mystical experience. And he said he had a dialogue with this person. And he said, "What are we supposed to be doing down here in this life?" And you know what the guy from the other side of death supposedly said back to him? He said, "We're supposed to be forgiving." So that rings true to me. What are you supposed to be doing all day long? We're supposed to be showing people mercy for the judgment that's certain to go against us. You ever heard of the seven corporal works of mercy, seven spiritual works of mercy? If you want a bucket list, let it be this. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. Shelter the homeless. Visit the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Bury the dead. Admonish the sinner. Instruct the ignorant. Counsel the doubtful. Comfort the sorrowful. Bear wrongs patiently. Forgive all injuries. Pray for the living and the dead. There's your bucket list. Can I just emphasize three of those? You know, you're not necessarily going to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless every day, but there's three of these that we can do every single day. We want to be busy about this. First of all, bear wrongs patiently. A good practice for us to try to live our lives by is to be as patient with other people as we wish they would be with us. It's a really good way to go through the day. A lot of these people that drive you crazy with their impatience, God's put them into your life on purpose so that you can show them mercy, because we all need mercy ourselves. Secondly, forgive all injuries. Doesn't mean that it feels better. It doesn't mean that you've forgotten the injury. It just means that you say this in your mind: I do not hold this against you. Again, a lot of the things that are done to us in our lives, great wounds that we've suffered, sometimes part of God's purpose in allowing it is that you can show to somebody else the mercy that God knows one day you're going to need yourself. Here's the last one. Pray. How many times in the course of a day in your mind do you condemn other people? Think about it. You read the news, you hear a story about somebody, condemn, 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 and it makes us angry, doesn't it? A little daily habit to get into. Maybe instead of condemning in your mind, what if we turned it into a sincere prayer for that other person? We'd be a lot less angry. It would actually do some good, and best of all, it's a work of mercy. Again, when the judgment's going to go against you, you better be busy all day long settling out of court. Mercy is the key that sets you free from the divine judgment that we all must face. So Jesus says, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Let's judge and act, and let's start today, shall we? Amen.